And our thanks as well to Jim Pallone at Ever Jones Investments. He's right across the hallway from us, making sense of investing. Now, what this means, particularly for my friends who have younger children, you got to have a financial future, right? How do you do that? You sit down with somebody early on, and you say, well, here's what's coming down the pike for me. I have a couple of college educations. I think I'm probably going to have a wedding. I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. And then you start working out the battle plan. Get from point A to point B, and the sooner you get started, the better the end result will be. The man over here is shaking his head. Being a former banker, he agrees with everything I said, right?
I agree with a lot of what you said.
Never everything.
The plan is very important, especially for people with children. I have three.
You have three. Well, you know, having gone through all this, my boys are grown. They're educated. And the way I put it, to my younger friends is, when all that's behind you, you have two things facing you. Number one, the final frontier. Do you know what the final frontier is, Randy?
Retirement?
No.
What is the final
frontier? The final frontier with your three children is getting them launched.
Out of the house.
See, because they have a college degree doesn't mean anything. You got to get them launched, right, and get them on their own. It's called yo-yo time. You're on your own. So that's number one. And then the second thing is the reality that you're starting all over again.
That's right.
You and Mom. Anyway, it's great. Wouldn't have missed it for anything in the world.
Well, we're on the front end of that with 14, 10, and 6.
Oh, God.
We're looking forward to
the challenges
of the next 10 to 15 years.
Oh, well, that's okay. I'm sure you'll get through it.
I'm sure.
Okay, Randy, we haven't had you on for a while, so you need to tell everybody a little bit about your background, if you would.
Well, I've lived in York County since 1976. My parents...
You're not that old.
Well, my parents moved south, and they stayed here because of the climate and the great environment and the general atmosphere in York County. And I am a Winthrop graduate and a University of South Carolina graduate. Lived in Columbia for a couple years, but moved back here, met my wife at Winthrop, and we live in TKK with our three children.
How about that? Good for you. Now, you have been the director of the Catawba Regional Council of Governments, formerly known as the Catawba Regional Planning
Council.
Council.
Correct.
You changed that name long before you.
Well before,
yeah. All right. So you've been director now how long?
I've been director for 2 years, but I've been with the Council of Governments for 6 years, since 2005.
And for those who have absolutely no idea what you do, which quite frankly is probably most of the people out there, in a thumbnail, describe what your mission and work is all about.
Our mission is to foster regional communication, collaboration, and cooperation between local governments in York, Chester, Lancaster, and Union counties of South Carolina. We work together to help government achieve efficiencies and to do project work and planning work in the areas of community development. Those are areas of low and moderate income people, in the areas of government and community planning, helping governments achieve their plans and write their plans for their local neighborhoods, the local areas, and in the area of economic development, helping create jobs and maintain jobs in the four county area as well. Those three primary areas.
So are there regional council of governments all over the state, all over the country?
It's a great question. Yes, there are all over the country, and sometimes they're called different things, but in South Carolina, we have a network of 10 councils of government throughout the state, and they work much the same as we do. They're governed by a local board that consists of locally elected officials and people from the private sector. Good balance between the private sector and the public sector, helping to steer and guide each council of government.
And your sources of funding to make your work possible.
I think I'd like to say that for the majority of our funding, we, what's the investment house that used to say, we do it the old-fashioned way, we earn it.
Yeah.
The way that we are sustained is primarily through contract work that we do on behalf of local governments. So if a local government needed us to, and this is kind of gets to our reason for being, if local government needed a project done but didn't want to hire a full-time person and didn't have the resources to do that, we could be an efficient solution to them, and they could contract with us rather than going to the private sector, and we would help them do whatever plan they need. For example, in Lancaster County right now, we're doing a capital improvements plan for Lancaster County. And that helps them plan what their capital needs are, or capital equipment needs, their capital financing needs are going to be over the next five-year period.
So you would, before taking on a project like this, you would do just like the private sector does. You'd sit down and negotiate a fee for doing this work?
We would talk with the local government. We are a nonprofit, and we exist for the benefit of the local governments that we serve. So we do not have a profit motive. Whatever we charge is what we believe that our hourly rate of our personnel will be, plus what any overhead costs we might have. There is no profit built into any contract that we have with the local government.
And if you had to bring in some outside help to help you do this, that might have a different level of expertise than you have in-house, you just add that to whatever the charge
was.
That's correct.
Interesting. And we bid that out just like any government would, too. For any contract above X, we would go get three bids, or we would do a request for proposals just like the government sector would if they were hiring that contractor themselves.
So you don't necessarily exist then through any grant funding.
The majority of our funding is through contract work that we do on behalf of local governments. About 10% of our operating budget comes from dues that each of the four counties pays to be a member of the Catawba Regional Council of Governments.
So in many ways, you are a private sector entity out there competing just like the rest of us do.
Well, we are a nonprofit 501c3 entity without the profit motive, and that's why we keep our overhead low so we can provide excellent service at an efficient rate for our local governments.
But you've got to compete just like everybody else does for the work.
We do. What we generally find is because we have low overhead and we do not have investors, we can generally provide those contracted services at a lower rate than many for-profit entities. That said, we do work with for-profit entities because there are some areas of work that we don't have a defined expertise. We're very clear about that. And so with the local government that we're working, we will say, okay, for this piece of the work, we will probably go to the private sector as a subcontractor on this contract.
All right. And you have on your staff what?
We have 21 people.
21 people. Wow. And I know you're located right across from City Hall here in Rock Hill.
We are in the Catawba Regional Center on the second floor.
21 people. Wow. Okay. So some of the projects that you might do would include what kind of stuff?
Well, one of our major areas of emphasis that we work in is the Community Development Block Grant Program. Cities like Rock Hill get a direct allocation of funding from Housing and Urban Development at the federal level because they have a population that exceeds 50,000. For those counties and cities that are below that level, we do direct work for those counties and cities, and that funding is provided through the state of South Carolina's Department of Commerce. Basically, HUD funds community development block grants to the State Department of Commerce, and then we compete on behalf of our local counties and cities for that funding at the state level. So community development block grants are grants which are project work based. I'll give you an example. One grant that we were just awarded was just awarded in Kershaw was for a new healthcare facility that will be used to provide healthcare services to low and moderate income people at a very reduced rate. These are for uninsured or underinsured people. And so the funding, which will flow through from HUD to the State Department of Commerce to Kershaw and Lancaster County, will help upfit a building to be that medical building, and CareNet of Lancaster is actually going to be the provider that provides those services. So the funding from the CDBG program, Community Development Block Grant Program, will be the upfitting funding for that building to make it ready to be a medical office building.
So a lot of the work has to do with the Community Development Block Grant, which all of these various governmental entities are trying to get a piece of, correct?
That funding can only be used in low and moderate income census tracts. So where the population of a given neighborhood is 80% or below of the area median income, that's where you could apply for a community development block grant.
Okay, but when you look at, you serve York, Chester, Lancaster,
is that Union.
And Union counties, all right. In those four counties, there certainly are many communities that fit that kind of profile, which means I would think all those four counties are coming to you and say, help us write our grants to get this money. So you're writing grants that are competing against grant applications that are competing for the same pot of money.
Typically, we go through a needs assessment process with every locality. So we actually go to the county councils and say, help us identify the needs that you have in low and moderate income areas. And then from that needs assessment that a local government does at a public hearing, we then are able to prioritize how those projects should be vetted before they're actually, the grant applications are written and sent to Columbia. It's really not an inter-region competition. Our projects don't compete against themselves between York or Chester or Union. They compete against all projects statewide.
My God.
And just as another example, a project that we did in Chester County was the old Springsteen Mill had burned and had been stripped. And so we used community development block grant funding to help demolish that old abandoned mill and make that site ready to be remediated. It's a brownfield, so to get it cleaned up so it could be turned into a public park.
Interesting. So with 10 council of governments across the state of South Carolina, and with South Carolina being generally a poor state, I mean, there must be a lot of applications out there going after that money.
There are a lot of applications, and we're very fortunate to have a very experienced staff at Catawba. In the last round, we received four new community development block grants, and in the spring round, we received five community development block grants. And so funding for this year for our region exceeded $3 million through community development block grant funding.
Wow.
And basically, we apply on behalf of the local government, but then if we're awarded that grant, if the local government is awarded that grant, we manage that grant, the funding process, the bid process, to make sure that the work is done according to federal guidelines. We manage that work, and that's when I said we earn it the old-fashioned way, or we make it the old-fashioned way, we earn it. And that's part of the contractual work that we do on behalf of our local government members.
So at any one time, you might have what? A dozen, 15, 20 projects going on?
Last tally, we had over $60 million of work that was being done. Total project work. That's not all the grant work that we provided. We usually are just a piece of the funding to make the project work. The local government puts in its match amount. There may be private sector funding that comes into a project, but we generally have $50 to $70 million of project work going on at any given time.
My God, had no idea. I'm impressed.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, you're a variable font of information. Well, the one that sticks out in my mind here locally was a couple of years ago. And I tell you, this was a labor of love by the Catawba Regional Council of Governments and Grazier Ray. And that's the Blackman Road funding. I mean, that was a challenging, challenging project.
It was.
From many perspectives. But the road is there. And the water line and the sewer line, I guess, are both in.
They're extended to the entrance of the Blackman Road community, and therein lies the challenge as kind of a sequel to this CDBG grant that was done for the water line. York County Council contracted with the COG to do a master plan for the Blackman Road community, and that plan was written by one of our other staff folks, Robbie Moody, and then presented to York County Council for adoption this past year. And that's basically the long-range blueprint for what can be done for development in the Blackman Road community. But there's some systemic issues that we all are trying to work through, because it's very expensive to take water and sewer beyond the point that it is today. So how can we provide services? How can services be provided to that community that's very much in need at an efficient manner for the taxpayer.
So just so people understand, I think this is right. The water and sewer line and the nice paved road go all the way up to basically a place for hope. A place for hope.
That's right.
Now they have washers and dryers and toilet facilities and that kind of stuff. But to put it in throughout the community is a whole other step.
It would effectively be cost prohibitive.
And the reason is there's just not enough population count up there to make it work.
Well, and another issue is soil type. The soil is really very difficult to work with, either from a septic system standpoint or from laying water and sewer pipe throughout that neighborhood. So the master plan effectively has new housing going at the head of the community, so we're not providing water and sewer throughout the community.
Yeah.
Tap into what we have existing. It's a lower cost alternative.
Yeah, and you know, in time, I know it'll happen. It'll happen, and it'll be a wonderful improvement to that particular area. So you guys, on a project like this, you're in there for the long haul.
We are. Typically, our community development block grant projects or our Economic Development Administration projects are multi-year. It might take a year to develop the project, write the application, receive notice of the funding, and then another 2 years for the project to develop and for the funds to be expended in that project. So typically we're looking at a 3-year time horizon for any given project. One other area that I'd like to maybe focus on within the Council of Governments, and this is one of our affiliate operations, is our development corporation, because as I said, we work in three areas: government planning, community development, and then economic development. And within the economic development world, one of the things that we have is a pool of capital that we lend in conjunction with banks and other lenders to companies that are expanding or starting within the four-county region. For example, if let's say we have an expanding company that wanted to buy a new building for $1 million, and a bank says, you know, we'd love to do this, but there's just a little bit of risk that we're not comfortable with, but we can do half of the deal at $500,000, then Catawba Regional could come behind the bank with a second mortgage and subordinate financing in the amount of up to $400,000, and then the owner only has to put in $100,000 on that $1 million project. Here's the hook. The hook is to use our funding for that second mortgage financing. The company has to commit to create X number of jobs within a 2-year period for that $400,000 of financing. So it's a way for us to help grow employment and provide capital to growing companies within our region. And since I think we've been in that business about 26 years, we've loaned over $40 million in the region, and we've helped to create or retain over 2,000 jobs.
Boy, that is neat. So the pool of dollars that you're able to do this with is coming from where?
A lot of different sources, primarily federal sources, either through the Small Business Administration. We are what is known as a certified development corporation, and we participate in the SBA's 504 program. The second program that we run is an Economic Development Administration funded revolving loan fund. It's a grant that the EDA provided to the Council of Governments, and then the Council of Governments in turn lends that money to businesses as part of that bank structure, and then when the loans are repaid back to the Council of Governments, we can then make new loans. So that capital revolves. And then the United States Department of Agriculture, through their Rural Development Division, also funded a very low interest long-term loan program, which we do the same thing with, but focus primarily in rural areas.
We have to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from the Old Town Bistro here on Main Street in Old Town, made possible by Carolina First, a trade name of TD Bank NA, where we take your banking personally. And our thanks again to today's co-sponsors, the Old Town Bistro itself, a great place to enjoy a meal and casual dining 7 days a week right here on Main Street in Old Town. And by Jim Pallone, Edward Jones Investments, also in Old Town, making sense of investing, the guy that can help you with that battle plan so you can get from point A to point B and have a financial future to take care of everything you want to do. We'll be back to continue our broadcast right after these words.
This is Straight Talk.
Not satisfied with what your website is producing? Revenflow Web Marketing can help. Rev and Flow serves organizations and businesses of all types on strategic use of the Internet, providing a team of highly skilled problem solvers that can get the job done. If your website is not doing what you want it to do, contact RevAndFlow.com in Rock Hill. We'll be happy to let our references talk for us. RevAndFlow.com, a leader in web team management, specializing in making the Internet work for you.
Wow! Hear that? It's your best friend reacting to your new outfit from The Gap. And that's cash back in your bank account. With Carolina First Relationship Rewards, you'll get up to 30% cash back on debit card purchases at over 100 of your favorite stores and online retailers, including Gap, Shoe Carnival, Foot Locker, BestBuy.com, OfficeMax, and more. So open your cash back checking account today and see how Carolina First is doing whatever it takes. Offers and merchants subject to change. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the Palmetto Room in historic Old Town Rock Hill. One of the largest ballroom and reception facilities anywhere, the Palmetto Room blends historic architecture, state-of-the-art technology, and unsurpassed service. Weddings, corporate functions, and special events for up to 300 persons seated, 500 standing, the Palmetto Room is the intelligent choice. Half day, full day, even week-long functions can be accommodated. Amenity packages from lavish to simple are available at significant discounts. Go to palmettoroom.com or call 327-9222.
Good Pharmacy provides total home health care. It's a complete program to offer you quality products, experienced consultants, delivery, and setup of durable medical equipment in your home. If you're caring for a loved one, let Good Pharmacy help. Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road, Rock Hill.
Dave Ramsey, tonight at 7 on WRHI.
Back we are here to the Old Town Bistro. Great place to come hang out during this, what would we call this, pre-New Year's, whatever. Lots of activity here. Randy Imler is with us from the Catawba Regional Council of Governments. Fascinating story, pal. As I said to you, if I worked at the Catawba Regional Council of Governments, which fortunately for you I don't, because it'd be in total turmoil. I mean, you guys must take a great amount of satisfaction to look back and say, hey, look what we did here. Look what we did here. Businesses that never would have been able to get started or be able to expand, you can actually say we helped them get there.
Well, it's two things I'd like to say. It's definitely a team approach, and we have a great, great team at Catawba Regional. But it's also because of the relationships that we have with our local governments. We work very, very closely, and everything we do is driven by the needs and desires of our local governments and our Council of Government board. And between those, the relationships that we have at the board level and with the county councils and city councils and county administrators and city administrators, we're pretty close to the ground of how we can best play a role to provide efficient and effective service to our local governments.
Okay. Now, with all the things that you're doing, I got to think that you have some kind of role right down the road here in our wonderful textile corridor or the redevelopment of the Bleachery, which is making progress, by the way.
It is making progress, and we absolutely do have a role in that. One thing that's kind of a arrow in our quiver, if you will, is about 4 years ago, the South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control, DHEC, came to us and said, hey, you guys have done a lot of work in analyzing and assessing what is known as a brownfield, and that's a former industrial piece of property that may have environmental contamination associated with it. And once a property becomes contaminated, it's very difficult to sell that property. It's very difficult to use that property for any productive use. And the Bleachery is definitely considered a brownfield. So DHEC came to us and said, you guys understand what brownfields are. You understand how they work and what's necessary to get them cleaned up. We have a $7 million loan fund that we would like for Catawba to take a look at running, and because you have done economic development lending and you know brownfields, we think this is a good match for you. And so about 4 years ago, we entered into contract with the South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control to manage this brownfields revolving loan fund on a statewide basis. That long story to say that we have about $1.5 million of grant and low-interest loan funds with the city of Rock Hill specifically for demolition of environmentally exposed parts of the building where asbestos is what they call friable to the environment. It's out in the open. And then once the buildings are taken down, some of that funding will be used for remediation, actual cleanup of the site itself. So that's just an example. Some of those funds are ERA, the American Reinvestment Recovery Act funds that EPA provided to the state. And we manage for the state. Some of those are straight EPA Brownfield Revolving Loan Fund funds. So we have a great relationship with the city of Rock Hill as well, and they're our borrower in this instance. But of that $1.5 million that we have loaned on that project, about $600,000 of that will ultimately be forgiven or provided as a subgrant to the city, and they will not have to repay that debt over the long term.
So this will help the city, and this is a very unique deal they have down here with the partner who is demolishing the property. But when it's all done and it's cleaned up and he hands it over, the city basically is ultimately responsible for about $5 million worth of work, and this is going to help offset part
that of that. That's a piece of the puzzle to making that project work and to getting the buildings down and the soil cleaned up.
Now, with this expertise that you have at Catawba, are you looking for other areas where you might be able to find some other funds to help the city with this?
Well, our focus is always going to be the four counties that we serve. However, with this particular contract, we also have done work in Aiken. We have a $1 million loan on the Victor Mill site in Spartanburg County, and right outside the town of Greer. We've done work in Florence. We've done work for the Union Mill site in Union, South Carolina. And we are looking at other opportunities throughout the state.
Curious. Well, Randy, a half hour's gone by. Keep up the good work. We got to do this more often than every 3 or 4 years.
Many thanks for having me on the show. I enjoy listening, and I always learn something new whenever I listen as well.
Happy New Year to you, buddy.
Happy New Year to you, too.
And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk program here from the Old Town Bistro, made possible by Carolina First, a trade name for TD Bank NA, where we take your banking personally. And our thanks again to Jim Pallone at Everett Jones Investments and the Old Town Bistro itself. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.